you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, and I'm only going to read the first four verses because the intent this morning is to introduce the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. And I'm reading from the New International Version. This is God's Word. "Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the Word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. How do we know what to believe? I have some cooking vessels up at my house. I like to cook. My wife's a fabulous cook, but I learned to enjoy cooking when I was a kid, and I still do a good bit of cooking. My wife is gracious and allows it, and I cook quite a lot. So I bought her a brand new set of pots and pans a while back, in 2021, and she said at that time it was the best Christmas present I'd ever given her. So I did buy them for her, but I've been using them too. And the two that we've used the most have begun to show signs of wear on the inside, which is disconcerting because the promise of the manufacturer is that, they're basically indestructible. I mean, you can literally put them in a 500-degree oven and it's not going to hurt them, okay? And certainly you can put them through the dishwasher and it's not going to hurt them. And you can even use metal utensils in the bottom of the pan, and it's not going to scratch them or mess them up. Unless it does. The skillet that I use in the morning to fry my eggs and my toast is in butter, is showing signs of wear. I put it in the dishwasher, always in the same direction, and the side that's toward the bottom, that wonderful nonstick finish is beginning to wear off. So I've reached out to customer service because their warranty is it's a lifetime warranty. Apparently the lifetime is not my lifetime because they won't answer their phone. So I've written to them and no response. So I've written to them again. I've been on hold as long as 20-something minutes and never, never, ever will you get an answer from them. Now, I'm not naming them. I've actually encouraged other people to buy this kind of cookware because it is so good. It really is easy to clean up afterwards. It cooks evenly. It's just a wonderful thing, except that the promise of the manufacturer is not being kept. They're not keeping their promise. That's disappointing. It's irritating. How do we know who to believe? What to believe? If somebody says, you know, we tested 12 different brands and this one won in 10 out of 12 categories, okay? How do we know that the test wasn't rigged, that the people who say they won weren't the people who were paying the people who were doing the testing. I mean, how do you know? How do you know what to believe? How do you know who you can trust? Now, why am I talking about this? Because now in an age of deep fake videos and all kinds of stuff that's out there, it becomes harder and harder to tell what's real, what's not, who's telling the truth, who isn't. But this is not a new problem. This problem is as old as humanity. The original temptation started with a question. Did God really say this? People have always been tempted by the enemy to question what God says and to wrestle with what's real and what's not. Our first parents didn't do a very good job dealing with that issue. But here's the thing. We need to look at the evidence in order to decide what's true and what's false, what's real and what's not. And there is evidence, if you're willing to look at it. Well, a lot of people are just too busy. You know, they just don't have time for it. Okay, well, let me tell you something. If Jesus Christ is who he claimed to be, there is not anything in life that is anywhere near as important as that. If Jesus Christ really is God incarnate, and he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, then being in right relationship with him is the most important thing there is. There's not a close second. You better know that if it's true. If Jesus Christ is not who he claimed to be, you really ought to find that out so that you don't have to give it another thought. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19, the Apostle Paul has been talking about if Jesus Christ isn't alive, if he didn't really rise from the dead. He says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ Jesus, we are to be pitied more than all men. Okay? Your faith is worthless if it's not true. We don't believe in Jesus because it makes us feel better. It gives us a sense of purpose. It's very comforting. All that's real, but if it's based on smoke and mirrors, if it's just a fraud, then it's a false hope. And you would be a fool to live a genuinely Christian life if Jesus isn't Lord.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone, to the realm of the unknown where Jesus is, and he's holding out his hand.
If Jesus didn't die on the cross to pay for our sins and then conquer death for us, if he's just a myth, then living for Jesus is a joke, a cruel joke. So we need to know, is this true or not? Luke was a physician, a doctor, a medical man, a man of science, such as it was back then. And he was living in the first century, not centuries later. He was living in the first century. He was a traveling companion of Paul. And Paul was becoming very famous because his life had been completely changed by his encounter with Jesus Christ. Paul had been Saul of Tarsus, a respected scholar among the Jews, and a man who was so zealous for what he believed that he was traveling around, rounding up these crazy Christians and persecuting them, torturing, imprisoning, killing them. And then he met Jesus. And when he met Jesus, his life was completely changed. And he ceased being called Saul and became known as Paul. And he traveled the world at his own expense, telling people that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus has fulfilled the promises of God, and that he's alive. And you not only can know him, you need to surrender your life to him. Luke traveled with him. Luke saw miracles happen because God often worked miracles through the Apostle Paul. And Luke knew these are not magic tricks. This is not illusion. This is not sleight of hand. This is the real deal. People who really were sick for a long time were instantaneously healed. Now he also saw that Paul continued to have medical problems. So it's not like everybody everywhere gets instantaneously healed if you just have faith. No. You need to trust God, and God will do what is best. We need to remember that. But Luke was one who wanted to have a thorough and accurate account of the life of Jesus that would make it clear what's true and what's not. I had the privilege growing up of knowing, as a matter of fact, even after I was grown up, of knowing Dr. Billy Graham, who was the most famous guy for decades. I mean, he was more famous than the sports figures, more famous than the show business people, more famous than Elvis. He was more famous than anybody you could name. He was in the press, in the newspaper and radio and so forth, more often than whoever was president of the United States at the time. And every president from Harry Truman to Donald Trump wanted to meet Billy Graham and talk with him because he was this huge celebrity. I had the joy of knowing him. He was my neighbor in Montreat, North Carolina, where I grew up. And I had the joy back in 2011, 2012 of actually working for the Graham Organization and of going up to the house and sharing with him what God was doing through the project that he had said he wanted to have take place. Now, why do you bring that up? Because every now and then I read something on the internet, like the story of when Dr. Graham visited the victims of Hurricane Katrina and the wonderful, moving little message of encouragement that he shared with them, etc. And it's not true. He didn't do that. He didn't say that. It's a lie that somebody put on the internet because they thought it would be a really moving story and that if they said Billy Graham said this, it would have more credibility than if they said it. That makes me sick. Makes me furious. Why in the world would you think that you can advance the gospel by lying? There are people who do that, and it doesn't advance the gospel. It ends up undermining it. So how do you know what's real and what's not? Well, that was Luke's question. And so here again what he said. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things that you've been taught. That, folks, is our main point today. That you may know the certainty of the things you've been taught. Luke's purpose, his motive, was so that you wouldn't have to wonder, okay, well, I heard this story about Jesus. Is that true? I heard this about him. I heard this about him. How do I know what's true and what's not? Luke says, I'll tell you. I researched it. I checked it out. God wants you to know the certainty of the things you've been taught. And that's why we have Luke's gospel. It's also why we have Matthew, Mark, and John. Okay, God gave us four accounts. And even though there are differences in perspective within those and differences among some of the details, there is no contradiction. Okay? If I said to you that this summer, most days we had the pleasure of having my son Andrew join us for lunch. Okay? That would be a true statement. That would be a true statement. During the summer, we encouraged our son Andrew to come up and eat at our house for lunch. And graciously he did. But here's the thing. If someone else remarked that my son Paul ate with us this summer, and some wanted to say that I think that's false. I think that's a mistake. They probably meant to say Andrew, because I heard Pastor Wood himself say that Andrew had eaten with them most lunch days this summer. And so, I mean, he does have a son named Paul, but it was Andrew who ate with him this summer. No, Paul was there too. Oh, so they were both there? Yeah. Well, why didn't Pastor Wood say that? Well, because I was talking about Mr. Andrew being with us, which is not the usual. But we were glad that we could do that this summer. Well, okay, so Mr. Andrew was there and Mr. Paul was there. Yeah. So was Mrs. Wood there? Yes, she was there. Most of the time. Okay. Sometimes she had to be in Knoxville or something like that. Okay, all right. So and you were there? Yeah, I was there most of the time. Okay. What about Hannah? Was Hannah there? Most of the time. So the fact that you said Mr. Andrew was there doesn't mean nobody else was there. Correct. If you can you follow that? Is that complicated for you? Are you struggling to understand? No. That's obvious. That's simple. Well, that's the kind of thing that happens in the Gospels. Were there two fellas who lived among the tombs, as Matthew says, or was it just one? As Mark records. Mark doesn't say it was just one. He tells us about one of the guys who was one of the two, apparently, who lived among the tombs. Matthew tells us it was two guys. Mark tells us about one of them. Can you follow that? Is that a contradiction? That's not a contradiction. It's just a difference in perspective. But it's if Mark said there was only one guy living among the tombs, and Matthew said, no, there were two guys who lived among the tombs. Then you got a contradiction. God gave us four gospels that tell the story. Each one has its own perspective. Each one has its own emphasis. There's a lot of details shared in common. But Luke says, I want you to understand the reason why I wrote this letter, I wrote this book. The reason is this. I want you to know the certainty of the things that you've been taught. I don't want you to wonder if it's true. I want you to know for certain. And so he says, as he goes through this, This is the fulfillment of God's promise. In the Old Testament, it said this, and now it's fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He says, I did the research. Going back to the beginning, I researched it. And the way he words this introduction, even though he's using the what's called Koine Greek, the normal, common, elementary level of Greek language, the way he phrases this opening to most excellent Theophilus is the way you would start a thesis, if you would, or a scientific paper back in this day. Okay? It reflects his education and training. And it reflects the fact that he wants Theophilus to know that he's done his research, and this is going to be a careful presentation. It isn't all chronological, but it's all systematically presented. Okay? And he says, I went back to the eyewitness accounts. I talked with the people who knew this firsthand. Peter, when he's writing, says we didn't follow cleverly devised stories. We were there. We were eyewitnesses. John likewise says we saw this ourselves. And so Luke, who was not himself an eyewitness to everything from the beginning, talked to the people who were. He said, what really happened? And this was probably written by 70 AD. So it's early on. Plenty of people alive who had been eyewitnesses, and they were able to say, this is what happened. And Luke says, I confirmed all of that. I made sure, and that's what I'm presenting to you. And I'm doing this so that you can know for certain, so that you can be sure. It's not a myth. Let me tell you something, folks. It's either true or it isn't. Don't lie. Don't think you're going to make things better by lying. God doesn't lie. God's word doesn't lie. Check out the evidence. And I'm standing here as one who has trusted God and trusted his word and found over and over and over and over that God keeps his promises. That everything in here is true. That he is real and he can be depended on. God never promised that he'd do whatever we want. That he'd do whatever feels good to us. Whatever makes sense to us. What he promised is he will do what he said. Time and again I've seen it. And I want you to ask yourself this morning, do I really believe? Am I really trusting him? And if you are, rejoice. Because God keeps his promises. And if you're not yet at the point where you've decided that you're going to surrender everything to Jesus, then I want you to ask yourself this question. What would it take in order for you to believe? What would it take in order for you to say, okay, I'm ready to trust Jesus? I can't believe for you, but I want to encourage you to believe, to trust him, because he's trustworthy. And these things have been written so that you can know the certainty of what you've been taught.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.